It's time for Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Have you ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Every week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. Guests will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Every show is a dose of inspiration. This is Success Profiles Radio. And now, here's your host, Brian K. Wright.
Hello and welcome to Success Profiles Radio. I'm your host, Brian K. Wright, and it's an absolute pleasure to be with you here today. I'm honored that you chose to spend part of your day with me here, and this is going to be a fantastic and amazing show, I promise. I will introduce my guest momentarily, and we are going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to learn some things along the way, too. And if you've listened for any length of time, you know that I usually take a minute or two to share some things I've been learning and thinking about, and I do this every single week. Recently, I had some conversations with people about who they are and where they're going in life. In a couple of those conversations, I decided to ask a question. And that question is this: what is your plan for world domination? Really, this is a different way of asking someone what they believe they're meant to do in life and how they're planning on bringing a positive result for themselves and for others. But I find it so interesting to hear the various responses I get, and I'm excited to hear someone who has a really specific answer to that question. So my challenge to you this week is, ask yourself what your plan for world domination is going to be. It can be as big as being a world-class expert in a given area, or something as simple as living in such a way that people will remember you well. The choice is yours, and always remember, it is a choice. And if you have not downloaded and subscribed to Success Profiles Radio on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, please do so. Leave a 5-star review. I would love and appreciate that very much. We've done this for over 12 years, over 500 episodes, and I believe this is episode 549. So we've been doing this for a minute or two. And with that in mind, I want to introduce my very special guest this week. His name is Ross McCammy. Let me tell you about him. In 2022, he founded Maverick Solutions, channeling his deep understanding of business processes into the realm of artificial intelligence. In his previous career in the insurance industry, he got so good at generating leads that he learned that he needed to innovate the process. After selling his insurance business at the beginning of 2023, he fully dedicated himself to pioneering tools that redefine productivity. And under his leadership, Maverick Solutions has introduced the Hyperflow CRM and AI VA digital assistants, setting new standards for customer relation management and virtual assistants. With hundreds of quality AI tools at his disposal, he's designed a program that keeps clients at the forefront of AI technology and a platform that integrates these tools into a customized AI suite for any scale of enterprise. He has emerged as a leading authority on blending AI with human workforces, creating synergies that scale businesses swiftly while enhancing the customer experience. We have so much to unwrap and unravel today. I don't know a lot about this field, but I know it's exciting. I know it's relatively new, and I know there's so much potential. I cannot wait to explore all of this with Ross and with you. So here we are with my very special guest, Ross McCammy. Ross, how are you? Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here.
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me, Brian. I'm excited to dive in and give some value, and hopefully somebody will leave a little bit better than they came to the show, knowing a little bit more about what AI can do.
Fantastic. So my first question, not necessarily a trick question, but you heard my intro. What's your plan for world domination?
My plan for world domination is to automate as many processes as possible, implement AI as best as we can, and allow the human element to be the human element. I want to allow people to connect on a deeper level because they don't have to do all the tedious things that they do every day.
That's a beautiful mission. I love that. So obviously this technology did not exist when we were growing up. So with that backdrop in mind, did you envision early on that you would be anywhere near what you're doing now?
You know, it's kind of funny that you asked that. As a kid, really getting into my realm of understanding, I love technology. I love computers. I grew up with technology. Through the 90s, 2000s, I have always enjoyed it. I used to tear computers apart just so I could rebuild them. And I would take pieces from one computer, put it over into another. Before I knew you could even buy all the pieces together to build your own, I was tearing them apart to do it. And then somewhere along the way, you know, I wanted to play baseball growing up, and I went to college for that and didn't really go for school. And along the way, kind of got lost and realized, hey, I need to make some money somewhere. And I jumped into the insurance industry. and completely lost track of what I enjoyed doing, which was playing with tech just in my fun spare time. And so if you ask me as a kid, would I have seen myself doing this? Yes. But that's at a young age as a kid. Getting into my teen years, into being a young adult, I would not have seen this. I didn't know how to monetize it. And quite frankly, I didn't think I was smart enough to get into this. So it's been a whirlwind, but yes and no. I would have thought I could have been here, but also at the same time had no clue.
Wow. I love that. That's absolutely beautiful. Where did you play baseball?
I played at University of Indianapolis. So I only played there for my freshman year. And then I went to a JUCO after that. I couldn't afford D2 school, private school anymore. Mm-hmm. And obviously wasn't there for academics. So I wasn't getting any academic scholarships.
Right.
And mentally wasn't prepared to be there. Physically, yeah. I had everything that I needed to be there, but mentally wasn't ready for it. So it took a little bit of growing up for me to get to where I am now.
Absolutely. So what did your career path look like before you got to this?
So in 2010, I was doing my marketing degree and I got a job as a marketing coordinator for a small company in a small little Indiana town. And about 6 months after I got that, they were heavily reliant on state funding. Well, the state changed their guidelines, and so they were shutting down that type of business. And I got laid off 6 months in. I happened to have a friend of mine who was in the insurance business. He said, "Hey, I know you need some money. I can get you some residual income through insurance." I went into insurance and I thought, man, this is great. Sold a few policies, was going to get paid on it again the next year since I sold it again. And I thought, man, this is amazing. Found out who I was working for was a little bit shady. Mm-hmm. So I left that company and I went to a different arm of insurance and sold property and casualty insurance. So I did auto and home insurance mainly. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, it was really kind of funny, and it was a blessing in disguise. Looking at it at the time, I was young and stupid, wasn't really thinking about the reason I was doing it other than I wanted to make money. So about 30 days after I sold my first homeowner's policy, I get a call at 4 a.m. and I get a woman frantically saying, "Our house just burnt to the ground." And it's 4 a.m. I'm groggy. I was up partying the night before. So I was like, oh man, I got to deal with this. Well, I had no idea if I wrote that policy the right way. And it was kind of a slap in the face. So at 4:05, I remember calling my manager at the time and he helped me write it. And I'm like, Josh, their house burnt down, blah, blah. I was incoherent at the time. He had no idea what I was talking about. And I had to bring myself back and explain what happened. He basically, in the most blunt way possible, said, "Hey, dummy, call them back. Tell them to go to a hotel, get their receipts, make sure that they're taken care of, because we wrote that policy correctly. They'll be reimbursed for everything and we'll take care of them." Mm-hmm. And at that point, I realized what I was doing was more about taking care of people than it was about getting a paycheck. And so I went on to build a 7-figure agency over the next 10 years. And in 2022, at the end of 2022, I realized that with the insurance industry getting hammered and claims were not being taken care of the way they were supposed to be, I wanted to exit that industry. So I sold my agency and my book of business to another agent who was a very good agent who I trusted not only my clients, but my own policies with. And I took every dime that I had made from selling that agency and I put it into this business, because I decided, instead of wanting to sell somebody the hopes that on the worst day of their life, we are going to take care of them and pay them, that I would then help people build and scale businesses up front and help them prevent the negatives, because they will have something that will take care of them for the lifetime.
Yeah, for sure. What early experiences taught you the most about entrepreneurship?
It's not easy, and that you have to keep persevering and learn every single day. And it's about taking care of people more than it is about making a paycheck. And when you do that, the paychecks start to come in.
I love that. And I love the way that you said that so clearly. It is so much more important to take care of the people and make sure you build loyalty within your brand and your customer base than it is to make a paycheck. Because when you're chasing a paycheck, everyone smells it and no one wants to work with you.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely.
For sure. So what do you think is the highest value skill anyone can develop?
Empathy. If you can put yourself in somebody else's shoes and understand where they're coming from, I think you can do about anything in this life.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And what do you think is the most expensive mistake you think you've ever made? Doesn't have to be financial, but it can be, or it could be something you hung on to for way too long or something you didn't start soon enough.
I will tell you, I think this is something that I actually did fairly recently. When I sold the agency and I started opening up our tech company, I decided to neglect my health. And so I didn't work out for over a year and started to feel health complications from that. And I will tell you, that's probably to this day my most expensive thing that I've made a mistake on, because now I have to earn that back, earn that health back, and get back whatever I lost. And I'll tell you, no amount of money will ever replace your health.
No truer words have ever been spoken. We've got about a minute to our break. What do you think it takes to be successful in business?
I'll tell you when I get there. I don't think I've quite made it successful in business, but I'll tell you, my goals are not necessarily success in business. It's success in relationships. And so I believe business equates to relationships. And the biggest success I can make is into my children and making sure that they are good human beings that can fend for themselves, that are independent, and that will also take care of people as they grow up so that we can impact the next generation in a positive way.
Beautifully said. We are coming up against our very first break. My special guest is Ross McCamey, and we are going to talk about using AI in our business. This is going to be a fun show, and this is a hot topic now. And if this whole world of artificial intelligence and how to use it in business is a mystery, you want to stick around. Please stay with us. This is Success Profiles Radio.
Is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
It's words you never heard.
Noah Webster was born in the month of April, and that gives me an excuse to talk about one of my favorite people. The name Webster means female weaver, and it took Noah Webster 27 years to compile his famous dictionary, which was finally published when he was 70 years old. The lexicographer went to Yale University and was the only one of five children to continue past grammar school. Noah Webster's book, An American Dictionary, published in 1828, contained definitions for about 70,000 words. As an adult, Noah was frequently in debt, as he received less than 1 cent per copy from the 25 million blueback spellers sold in his lifetime.
It's words you never heard.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we're back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Ross McCamey. And we are going to talk about automating in our businesses using AI. And if you have not subscribed to Ultimate Achievers Magazine, you can go to ultimateachieversmagazine.com and you can pick your subscription option. And it is a monthly digital magazine that we publish. We've been doing it since December 2017. We've done, I believe, 70 issues and plus a whole bunch of special edition issues. So if you were to read one issue a week, it would take you longer than a year to read everything on the site. So subscribe. I cannot wait for you to do that and take it all in. In fact, we're working on the next issue right now. It's so exciting. So Ross, let's talk about AI. How important is it, as a foundational question, to automate in our businesses?
Man, I think it's huge. And I'll come back to the world domination question that you asked earlier. If you want to truly connect with your customer base, you need to remove as much of the in-between as you can. And that means automating as much as possible. And that's not just on the front end. When people think automating, a lot of times they think lead generation and bringing in customers. No, there's a lot on the back end. How many times have you called into a customer service line and you had to wait 45 minutes to an hour for somebody to pick up that phone only to read a script and answer something that could have been answered in 10 seconds? Mm-hmm. You had automation doing it. So little things like that will take it to where you don't have to do the minor Q&As that happen a million times every single day, which frees up a human's time to then answer the more advanced questions and move your customer base further, faster, with better answers up front really quickly.
So when you call into a large company and you get an automated menu and it asks you why you're calling in one word, that's all automated, right?
It is. And I'll be honest, I think that's a poor automation system.
Yeah.
All that is doing is shuffling the cattle around and getting somebody to a human at some point. With the technology where we have it now, you don't have to do that. You can take all the questions that you get every single day that if you've ever worked in a call center, you know they have scripts on scripts on scripts on how to answer these questions. Why not just put those scripts in and let it give the answer for you instead of having a person answer those?
Yeah. And I don't know how many different ways I can say speak to representative.
Right? And it's so amazing. And that's one thing over the past year and a half since OpenAI launched publicly, it's amazing how well these systems can pick up what you want to say. And yet these multi-million and multi-billion dollar companies still have these cheap systems that don't respond well. And to me, that just shows you where their priority is. It's a cattle call. It's a numbers game to them, and it's not relational whatsoever.
Yeah. So how much time does AI save you in a week?
Depends on the tasks that you're talking about. So when I first started using AI, I used it to help me come up with marketing content. I used it to help me with writing copy for my website. And it saved me hours and hours and hours. Now I've gotten past all that to where I'm not doing as much of that. And AI, really what it does is it helps me organize things a little bit better. So what I use AI for more than anything is for video editing. So whenever I'm putting out content, I have a site called munch.io that I use that props up my video content really quickly into slices so that I can put it out on multiple channels really quickly. I also use our AI VAs, which will help funnel those leads. And it doesn't create leads. It funnels them in and qualifies them, answering questions quickly so that we don't have to wait. It's more so about efficiencies and how fast we can scale. And it's about the bandwidth that it gives me more than the time that it saves.
That's beautiful. I love that. So tell us how you started your business, Maverick Solutions, because that's the umbrella where all this is happening, right?
Yes, Maverick Solutions started out as I wanted to get out from the insurance company that I was with. I was providing like the leads that were coming in from all over the country, but they were kind of bottlenecking me to where I couldn't get access to carriers under their umbrella in other states. So I started thinking, okay, well, I need to open up my own brokerage then instead of working under their umbrella. And so I started building that out, getting licensed in all those states, doing everything I needed to do. But I needed the pieces, so I needed a CRM. So I went and I started thinking, well, why don't I build one? Once I built it, I realized, man, I really enjoy this more than I enjoy insurance. And quite frankly, the industry wasn't going in the way I wanted it to go. So I built out the CRM and I started selling it to insurance agents. So as that happened, we found out there were some pieces that we had that were broken and we had to go back to square one and rebuild it. And at that time, AI had launched with OpenAI publicly. And so I thought, man, if I'm going to do this, why don't I just build out an AI version of a CRM? And so then we started building out automations and I started figuring out how we could get our developers to integrate our CRM automations with the conversational skills of OpenAI. And the rest is history. And we've been building and scaling for the past year. And it's been a whirlwind, but here we are now. Mm-hmm. We've got, what is it, 3 figures of clients under us, so over 100 clients under our belts. And nice. We are rocking and rolling, and it's going faster and faster all the time.
Yeah. How did you decide on AI? I mean, after you left insurance.
I was really just happenstance. If OpenAI hadn't gone public like they did and I hadn't started playing with ChatGPT, I wouldn't have gone down that rabbit hole. But now that I've gotten into it and I've seen how powerful it is, I realize that AI is going to be the future of how businesses operate. And the big motivator for me is that you have a lot of these AI companies out here who are trying to replace humans.
Yeah.
And me, I think that's a very slippery slope to a very dystopian society, mm-hmm. and it's going to get messy real fast. So the big driver for me, again, is my kids. I want to make sure that they grow up with a future that is utopian and not dystopian. And I want to make sure that they have the opportunities that we in our generation haven't had. So my goal is to make sure that that AI gets implemented as a tool and not a replacement.
Yeah, for sure. So you've talked about a couple different things that you use AI for. What are some of your favorite ways to use AI, and what are some of the ways that your clients ask to help with that?
Yeah, so we pretty much start with the marketing. So I teach people how to shoot their content and then cut it up using Munch. And then we were working on some faceless marketing right now with some of the cool technology out there. Sora's coming out from OpenAI. Right now I'm using Pika Labs, and you can take an image and make it talk. And then you can take 11 labs and you can give it a voice. And there's automations that go in there from that standpoint. And then what we do specifically is we drive in those leads from the marketing channels, and we qualify them and we answer questions with our AI VAs on the back end. So that's literally, it's pretty simple once we set it up, but that is my go-to way of using AI right now.
Do you use AI for lead generation, or do you usually simply use AI to organize leads once they're in?
So that's more of a complicated question. So we don't actually use AI as a lead generation tool. We use it to quickly edit and create content that then drives in the leads from there. And then we do use AI conversationally to answer those questions and qualify out the leads. So the long and short answer is yes, we use AI for it, but the short answer is we use it to shorten our time window to create the content.
Okay, here's a question from Facebook. If you have a home services company, for example, what are the top 3 things they can use AI for, and what should they be using AI for?
Oh man, I actually built out a few systems for home services businesses. So one thing that we've done is if you have a home service business that does recurring business, like an HVAC company or a roofing company that needs to do maintenance or gutter cleaning, anything like that, when you have reminders that can go out, you automate that and send it out. I would have that going out with AI powering it. That way it can actually continue the conversation other than just triggering a notification. So let's just say your HVAC is coming up. Hey, Brian, saw that it's time for your HVAC service again. Do you have any questions? Have you been noticing any problems with it? Have you fired up your air conditioning yet for the season, your furnace for the season? And then it can actually continue the conversation and drive them to booking the appointment for a service.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. So how do we pick the right AI tools? There are so many out there.
You've got to pick the right one for you. So one thing that I look at completely is bottlenecks. So if you're talking to an AI company who's built out a system, and let's ask first, are you coding it yourself? Or are you building on top of other systems? If you're coding it yourself, there's a lot of freedom in that. So you know that they are the company who built that completely. You don't have to worry about other companies going down and then who are they going to replace that piece with and so on and so forth. But there's also bottlenecks in that how big is their dev team? How many people do they have actually building out this system? What happens if your system goes and breaks, or one piece of your system breaks? So you need to interview the company and just make sure they're not selling you on something. And then the other piece of that is, if they do have pieces that can break, what do they have as a backup, and how long will the downtime be? That's one of the biggest things that you need to look at. Other than that, culture. How much are they going to care about you as you go? How much time do they spend trying to sell you on it? Because if they spend a ton of time selling you on it, how much time are they going to spend on the back end servicing it? And you got to build that relationship with them too. The other question is, are they looking to replace people? Are they looking to scale your team and make your human element stronger?
Lots of really great things to consider for sure. We've got maybe about a minute or so to our next break. So how do you know what to recommend to clients? Do you have favorite, and this will spill over to the next section, but do you have favorite programs that you like to use?
I do. I have favorite programs that I typically go to, but I have tested over the past year hundreds of AI systems. And so what I do is I take my people that I sit down with and I have a conversation with them, and I find out what they do as their process. And we go through a little flow, and basically I X out anywhere that we can replace a human with an AI tool. And then we start implementing piece by piece, little bits at a time.
That's absolutely fantastic. We are coming up against our very next break. I can't believe how quickly this is going. We're about halfway done already. We're talking with Ross McCammy, and we are talking about using automation in our business. And when we come back, I will ask him about some of the systems that he's built out for customers, because not only will he recommend programs that are out there, but his company can build out AI systems for you in a customized fashion. We will be right back. This is Success Profiles Radio.
Is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away, because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com. If you are in business, what is the number one thing that stops revenue growth? Not having enough leads. Data is the new gold rush. With PhoneSites, that is never an issue. You can generate as many leads as you want without paying a lead broker. With PhoneSites, you can build a website or sales funnel from your mobile device in 5 minutes or less without any technical skills or without downloading an app. It's easy, and you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 14 days at PhoneSites.com/Brian. Once again, that's PhoneSites.com/Brian.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
We are back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Ross McCammy, and we are talking about automating in our business. And if you've not downloaded and subscribed to Success Profiles Radio on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, please do that. Leave a review. That would mean a lot to us. So, Ross, you build customers AI systems, right? And you can customize it. In fact, I think you mentioned that's one of your favorite things to do.
It is. This is actually, it's funny kind of how it happened. I fell into doing exactly what I think I was meant to do. I get to play with AI systems and build them out custom for every different company that we work with.
Wow. So give us an example of a system that you built out for somebody. What did they want? What did you do?
Yeah. So I can give you a couple examples, but I'll start with the main one. We were talking about that customer service. We were talking about that customer service problem with the larger companies, right? Where you call in and you have a prompt. What we have done is we built out systems where you can call in, and we do two different versions. We actually have voice systems that can answer, and your AI is talking to you, and it sounds like a human. Or we can do a missed call text back to where if somebody doesn't want to talk to an AI in there, that you can have it text back, and the AI will actually start having a text conversation and will answer whatever questions that they have. And then we put a human rollover element into there as well. So if the AI doesn't know how to answer it, or if it gets a little bit off track, it will trigger a human rollover and notify the team. So the team can then take over and then put it back to AI handled with anything that basically goes back to the AI.
Yeah. Do people, when people are experiencing being communicated with by AI, is there any pushback about that?
If they know so it's actually kind of funny. Human psychology is an interesting thing. If they know it's AI, people will mess with it and they'll try to break it. But when people don't know it's AI, they just continue the conversation and the AI keeps answering, giving them immediate feedback. And those people absolutely love it. And I've actually had people who have told me they had no idea that they were talking to AI.
Wow. That's interesting. I know, for example, if you want to talk to Siri or Alexa, sometimes people will ask inappropriate questions and Siri will say, I'm not allowed to answer that.
Ours is similar. We put guardrails on it. So let's say you call into an attorney's office and you want to ask a legal question, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm talking to AI. Well, hey, can you give me a recipe to bake a cake? If you go to ChatGPT, it's going to answer that all day long. Mm-hmm. We put guardrails on it, so it's going to redirect the conversation back, and it's going to say, hey, you know, I appreciate you want to bake a cake, but we're not bakers. We don't give recipes out here. If you have any legal questions, let us know, and it'll get back on topic. And that's probably going to be the easiest tell of an AI, because a human's probably going to be a little bit more empathetic there, and this AI just kind of redirects back almost short to them, like, hey, we're here to talk about legal questions.
Right. Exactly. So if someone has an existing CRM in their business, can you build out or integrate your AI systems into their CRM?
Yeah, absolutely. We've built out our AI systems to have webhook capability. So as long as your CRM has APIs or webhooks, we can connect into it. I was actually connecting into Go High Level today. We've integrated into social media platforms. So a lot of people are actually using Messenger as their CRM to keep track of their conversations. And we can API in and webhook into Messenger to allow us to have conversations via AI in your Facebook Messenger.
That's fantastic. So how do you pick a good CRM? I know you create them, you've seen them. What makes a good CRM? How do you pick a good one?
On the surface, it's going to be, what do you need specifically for your business? Because not any one business runs the same way. Even if you have a franchise that has the same model, each franchise owner is going to run it slightly differently. So you got to look for the things that you want. Do you want pipelines? Do you want automated email campaigns? Do you want it to just track your customers so you can look them up and put notes in the system? Some systems don't have good notes. Some don't have good pipelines. Some don't have good email blasting capabilities. You need to look for what you need in your business. And then below the surface, you have to test it. You've got to be willing to dive in and say, okay, I'm going to give this a week of testing it out in every scenario I can think of. Is it user-friendly? Okay, cool. It checks that off. It's user-friendly. Next step is, does it do what it's advertised to do? One of the biggest things I've seen is a lot of CRMs will go out there and say, we can do this, and they technically can, but when you do it, there are errors that happen, and they don't tell you about all the delays and things that break. And don't get me wrong, every CRM has something that's going to break. I've worked with Salesforce, Go High Level, FlowTrack, and you name it. I've worked with quite a few make. And with that, they all have their problems. So not any one of them is perfect, but you've got to get in and test it and make sure that it's going to have minimal problems for you.
Absolutely. So let's just say that you want to train AI to mirror what you would say. How do you do that? How long does it take to get that right?
So it depends on the system, and I'm not going to talk to anybody else's, but I can talk about my system. So with ours, we've actually built a framework that will take one initial prompt. So you give it a goal and a purpose. And so you go through and let's just say I want to create a customer service AI. Okay. So actually, let's do this one. This will be a win back AI. So this is going to be an AI that is developed to win back past customers who have left for one reason or another. So I'm going to tell it a story, just like I'm training an employee. Your goal is to reach out to customers who have left our business and they left for one reason or another, and you can specify they left for price, for bad service, for X, Y, and Z, and you are going to reach out and let them know that we have solved that problem. And then from there, you're going to give it a purpose, which is saying you're reaching out to these people because they left us. And then on the back end, you create a tag. They left because of price. They left because of service. They left because of X, Y, Z. Whatever that tag is, now you go into that AI, and that framework that you put in with that one prompt has created stages. And it's going to be an introduction. It's going to be a letting them know that we fixed it and we understand that their problem. So there's going to be an empathy stage. There's going to be an understanding stage. And so on and so forth. And each one of those has its own prompt. In that prompt, you can give a response how you would respond. So if I would say, AI would say, hello, so-and-so, we are reaching out because of X, Y, and Z. I would go in and rephrase it and say, use this terminology. Hey, Brian, we're reaching out because we know that we messed up with your service and we had a problem with X, Y, and Z. And we really want to earn your business back. We've done X, Y, and Z to fix those problems. And we think you're really going to enjoy our services now. And so I can put in a tone of me. And I have actually cloned myself on the marketing side, on the sales side, and on the customer support side. And that's how it is. And it takes about an hour to create each AI employee. And then there's probably 15 minutes a week of uptick that you have to do. So if it doesn't know an answer, you just copy that question and you answer it how you want in the training data. And from there, it just keeps learning and it keeps doing it every single time the way you told it to.
Is this text only or is it voice also?
So we have text only and we are in beta right now with our voice. So it does have a voice response that is out there, but we haven't released it to the public yet.
That is actually very exciting, because if you were doing voice response now, I would ask, could you teach it foreign accents?
Oh, absolutely. So it's based on OpenAI. So OpenAI can speak in any language, and you can tell it, you can actually choose different accents like you do in a lot of these voice simulators. Mm-hmm. And so you can choose whatever you wanted to with accents and completely different languages. So it's one thing that we're looking into now is the new Samsung S24 has come out and it has the real-time voice translator. So if you know that you're talking to somebody who speaks Spanish on the other end, you can set that up to do a real-time translation of your conversation back and forth. And we are implementing that into our systems as well.
Fantastic. We've got maybe 3 minutes or so to our final break. Tell us more about AI virtual assistants, because you, like you alluded to a little bit ago, you can create AI employees.
Yes. And that's kind of what I was talking about on the customer support side. We can put in whatever prompt we want, and anything you want that AI to have a conversation about, you give it the goal and the purpose and it will go out and do it. So if you want to do lead capture and lead qualify, you can attach a form on the back end that's then going to say, let's just say you reached out because you saw my content. You're going to say, hey, Ross, I saw your ad and I really liked your AI. I would love to learn more. My AI is going to say, that's so great. What did you like about it? And then it's going to ask you, then you're going to answer and it's going to come back and say, hey, by the way, I didn't get your name. And you're going to say, it's Brian. And on the back end, it's filling out that form. It's filling out what you liked about the ad, what interests you. Then it starts filling out your name. Then it's going to ask your business and it's going to be completely conversational. You never had to type a single thing into a form, but on the back end, it's capturing that data. So you can create those for ad purposes, for lead qualification, anything that you want. And it's going to capture all that data. So when it comes time to have that conversation with you, I'll have all that information in front of me. And I can say, hey, Brian, I'm really glad that you enjoyed this about this. Mm-hmm. Let's delve deeper into that. And then I can actually have a real conversation connecting with what you want to talk about instead of what I think you want to talk about.
Yeah. And this is a really big new world too, because you can use AI employees to do lots of different things. They don't have a bad day. They don't have a bad attitude. They're less expensive. I mean, yes. Are there any downsides to this?
There are downsides. First of all, they get tripped up. If somebody, like I said, if somebody knows they're talking to AI, they want to start getting them off kilter, they will start tripping them up and they don't have the reasoning skills. So what we've done is we built a framework that gives them context to the conversation, but every once in a while it gets broken. And so what we've done is we created the human rollover to combat that. But at the end of the day, it's still a computer. It doesn't understand humans completely. So you have to program it for the right scenarios to make it successful. And that's where working with someone like myself would come in and say, hey, you know, you want this to be a sales guy. It's not going to be able to handle all the nuances of sales. I would not recommend that. Let's use it to tee up an appointment to talk with a human. Let's use it to tee up that higher level customer service issue and so on and so forth. You don't want to put it in too advanced situations just yet.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that. We are coming up against our final break. I cannot believe how quickly this is going. And we are learning a lot about using AI in our business. And when we come back, we'll talk about a whole lot more. In fact, I'll probably ask him about using it in your recruiting, because that would be absolutely massive. We'll come right back. This is Success Profiles Radio. Please stay with us. Don't go away. Down the stretch we come when we return.
Mission is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
If you are in business, what is the number one thing that stops revenue growth? Not having enough leads. Data is the new gold rush. With PhoneSites, that is never an issue. You can generate as many leads as you want without paying a lead broker. With PhoneSites, you can build a website or sales funnel from your mobile device in 5 minutes or less without any technical skills or without downloading an app. It's easy and you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 14 days at PhoneSites.com/Brian. Once again, that's PhoneSites.com/Brian.
Ever get nervous riding in an elevator because you're afraid the cable might snap? It's entered my mind more than once. According to Elevator World magazine, on the rare occasion a cable breaks, the car won't hunch plunge to the bottom. This is because elevators have as many as 10 cables holding them up, each capable of supporting a fully loaded car. Sometimes I feel a little mischievous in elevators. Next time you're feeling like a rapscallion, try one of these little jokes. When there's only one other person in the elevator, tap them on the shoulder and then pretend it wasn't you. Push one of the buttons and pretend it gave you a shock. Or maybe start a sing-along. What's a word for a person who thinks he's funny but no one else does? Witzelsucht. It's Marching Neighbor. I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we're back. This is Success Profiles Radio. Down the stretch we come. This is our final segment. We're talking to Ross McCamey about using AI in our business. And for those listening that feel like, oh, this is so much, I feel like I've fallen so far behind, how can we learn more about this as fast as we can?
As far as learning about AI, the only way to do it is to dive in. There are a lot of open source and free tools out there. And I would start with Claude, OpenAI's ChatGPT, or Google Gemini. Which Gemini has been in the news a lot lately because it's not getting things correct. And they're supposedly rectifying that right now, but it does still have a use case. It's very good organization. It's good at SEO content, but I would stick with ChatGPT and Claude for sure.
Okay, sounds wonderful. So let's just say that I'm new in business or I am new to AI. Where should I start with automation?
With automation, you really need to start with a mind map. You need to figure out how you want to connect with your prospects. So first thing I would do is I would take everything out and map out SOPs. So create your standard operating procedures and say, okay, here's how I do X, Y, and Z. And do it as if you were handing it to a five-year-old and you wanted them to be able to redo it. Once you get that done, you can start figuring out, okay, do I just set up an automated email here or does it need to be more advanced? Start sending out your automated emails as much as you can. Have automated responses to Q&As, which are just you typing out answers. And then the next step after that would be implementing AI. Once you implement AI, you can basically give it parameters of here's what I want it to do. Here's the conversational steps that I want you to take. And here are the guidelines that I want you to stay within. And then you start building that out. That is where you start getting into cost, though. So automation is really relatively inexpensive. And then you get into AI and it's more expensive. And then I would say you get into hiring employees. So if you already have employees, maybe you want to accelerate what they're doing and give them higher level tasks. That's where I would take and implement AI. There are packages that we personally have that are 57 cents an hour or up to, if you want to send 100,000 messages a month, we do it for $28 an hour. And it depends on the volume of what you're doing there, but it's very inexpensive compared to hiring a human to do that job. But I would be very careful on that. You don't want to replace your humans. You want to enhance what they're doing, which means you need to take away tasks that are burning them out, basically, and give them tasks that are going to empower them and give them morale boosts and allow them to feel like they're doing something worthwhile.
So I am on several text message lists. Are those using AI?
Possibly. There are quite a few systems out there that are doing text message now. So what I would do is just try to break them. In fact, what's funny is since I've been doing this, we take our kids to some hotels here and there just to get them some pool access in the winter. And a lot of times we get these automated text messages that say your room will be ready in X, Y, and Z time, blah, blah, blah. And hey, by the way, go check out the pool, check out the weight room, all this stuff. And those are typically automated. And we went in one time and I text back and said, is this human or is this an AI? And they sent LOL and they said, no, this is the front desk people doing this. So I went up to them when we left and I said, hey, how much time do you guys spend doing this every day? And they said, we spend hours a day texting all of our people and doing this. And we have a couple automated messages. So I ended up hooking up that hotel with our AI systems. And so now all of them are AI automated, but I say that to say that there's a mix. Some of them are going to be human. Some of them are going to be automation and some of them will be AI. There's so much out there that's possible now. It's really hard to tell unless you try to mess with it a little bit.
Yeah. What's your favorite way to mess with an AI system? Ask, what are you wearing?
You can do that, but man, I'll tell you, my AI actually began lying to people the other day, and another one of my friends who has another system, his AI started lying to people, which is kind of crazy. I've had a couple people say, is this AI? And mine is actually disguised as me in some of the sense, because I don't want somebody to feel like I'm putting them off onto AI. So I tell them it's me responding, it's my assistant. And so somebody says this AI, and it answered, no, this is actually Ross. We do sprinkle in some AI to help with the workload, but this is me right now. And I jumped in. I'm like, whoa, no, that was actually AI and it just lied to you. But this is me now. And I jumped into the conversation. I don't know how to feel about that. just yet, it's kind of concerning, but at the same time, you know, it kind of keeps people from breaking your system. So as long as it's not nefarious, I don't really know that I have a problem with it, but it's a little bit interesting. It's kind of, they're getting harder and harder to break, I'll be honest.
Absolutely. Before the break, I did tease that we would talk about using AI to recruit new team members. Are you doing that? And can it be done?
100%. That's actually one of the easiest things that you can do, because you can actually go through and you can train it on a PDF. So anytime somebody gives you a resume, we built these out for recruiting companies and it's been working like crazy. So you feed it all the information to the resume and then you feed it your criteria for the job. And it starts asking them questions and it vets them based on the conversation. And it will give you a qualification of how they did, whether or not they should be moved forward to a human interview or if we should pass on them. And actually, we're doing a test right now for the numbers. We, I believe it was 107 candidates that were fed through this thing. Mm-hmm. And as of earlier today, they've done 40 some odd interviews and every single person that was moved through this. And I'll be honest with you, we started with about 1,000 applications and we narrowed it down to about 100 for the interviews, or 107, whatever it was. And now they've done 40 some odd interviews and every single person has been an exact fit.
Wow.
So it's really cool that it's that good at qualifying.
That's absolutely amazing. I love that. So if you, if we're going to implement AI, what role should we do first? I know we talked a little bit about this, messaging campaigns first, right?
Depends on what you need in your business. And this is where I say I talk to every single client, because I do. Yeah. It really depends on what's going to move your needle the most. Mm-hmm. If you need lead flow in, then I would create content and I would let this qualify your leads down on autopilot. But if you're at a bottleneck to where you've got plenty of clients and you just have a big service problem on the back end, I would implement it in the service end first so that you can get a little bit of bandwidth back and start scaling your team a little bit more so that you can scale better and more efficiently.
Absolutely. So if someone wants a demo of this system, you'll take them on a call and show them how this can work for them, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what we do is we use this for qualifying. So you can go to our website at mabsolutions.io and you can either schedule a demo right there, but or you can watch our demo. It's about 30 minutes. It's a long demo. But it walks through how the system works and it shows you exactly what it does from a standpoint of messaging and response. And then if you want to jump on, we do group demos 3 times a week. And then I do individual demos if it makes sense, one-on-one.
Mav, M-A-V, mavsolutionsio.com?
No, mavsolutions.io.
Oh, mavsolutions.io. Glad we clarified that. Yep. Sounds fantastic. So tell us, we got just a few minutes left. Tell us about the best AI podcast.
Yeah. So the best AI podcast is me and 5 other panelists that are all sitting there talking about AI news. So we're going back and forth talking about the Google debacle when they released their image generator, talking about what's going on with closed GPT with this new Sora program that's text to video, which is absolutely amazing. If you haven't seen it, Sora is going to be cinematic quality video created by AI to the point where actually now that this stuff is coming out and you're seeing it, my wife and I were just watching Napoleon and I'm pretty sure one of the opening scenes has an AI generated scene in it. And it's, you can tell because of the speed of it, but that's kind of the stuff that we get into on the Best AI podcast. We talk about these things in depth and we go into it and we keep people up to date on what's going on in the AI world.
Great. We've got about 3 minutes until the end. Do you remember your first client in this company? What happened?
My first client in this company is still with us. Thank God. She's a saint. We actually brought her on with the CRM and we had all kinds of problems as we were getting through the beta testing. And so I gave her a free AI VA to play with in her company. And she's actually made over 6 figures using that AI VA now in the past 6 months. So thank you, Susie, for staying on with us as long as you did. And I hope we made up the initial downfalls that we had, but she has been a saint. And to this day, she gets my attention just as much, if not more, than anybody else, because she's been with us since day one.
Fantastic. 2 minutes until the end. What has surprised you the most about this journey?
How fast AI moves. Every system we have tried to create tutorial videos on, within a month, those tutorial videos have been outdated. So this is what I'm looking most forward to using Sora for, is creating tutorial videos and training it on our systems so that it can update every time we have some kind of update, because it's a full-time job of probably a dozen people to keep up these tutorial videos. It's insane how fast these systems are growing.
Fantastic. And as we wind down, who inspires and motivates you?
My kids. I've mentioned them multiple times. I look at the life that I want to build for them and where they're at right now. And everything that I do is motivated by being the best father and husband that I can be and creating a better generation going forward.
I love all of that. So as we wind down, how can we tribe with you and vibe with you? Where can we find you?
You can find me on Facebook. Just search Ross McCamey. You can find us at Mav Solutions on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, anywhere you search Maverick Solutions, you'll find us. Or you can go to our AI Fusion group on Facebook. And that's probably the best way to get in touch with me, because I'm in there about every day trying to add value anywhere we can.
Ross, thank you so much for being here. This was so much fun. We learned a lot.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian. I've really had a blast.
So have I. And thanks to all of you for listening. This has been Success Profiles Radio. Thanks for joining us this week. And join us every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, where I interview another world-class achiever, learn what they did, what they overcame, and the lessons we can learn along the way. Thanks for joining us. Until next week, take care. Goodbye. Have a fantastic week.
Thank you for being a part of Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. We'll have guests that will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, BrianKWright.com. If you've ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living, then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join us again next week for more Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright.